later. If you find yourself sitting next to someone new to Emmanuel, please introduce yourself and possibly have a chat after the service. There are teas and coffees being served afterwards. Irene is our Bible reader today, and she will read from James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, and can be found on page 227 of the Old New Testament. During the service, we shall be linking up to our cenotaph in Whitehall to join the nation for the 2 minute silence. Also, later today at 16:30, Emmanuel will hold a special service to recall and remember all who have died in previous year with Fellowship of Emmanuel. So please come along if you are able. That's all the notices. I'll now light the Christ candle whilst we prepare for prayer.
Good morning and welcome, all of you, today. We gather for worship, and at 11 o'clock we will be connecting with the cenotaph, as we do every year, connecting with the nation. And as we do every Sunday, our time of worship is a time in which we feel that we are in communion with God's people everywhere. In Isaiah chapter 40, we read the words, "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." We wait on the Lord. During the singing of the first hymn, in a few moments, the standard will processed down, I will receive it. And after having received it, while we are still singing, I will light the peace candle, which we began lighting over a year ago and is now as necessary and as urgent as ever. I'd invite you to join from our hymn book, Rejoice and Sing. It's hymn 705, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. Seated. I'd invite you to join in a time of prayer, and we will end the prayer with the words of the Lord's Prayer all together. Let us pray. As your people, we gather. We come with who we are and how we are, with our hopes and expectations, with our needs, with our vulnerabilities. We can't hide from you. We come to you. Renew our strength, please. Help us to find in you what we need to live life, to trust, to be renewed. We thank you, risen Jesus. We thank you for your greeting to your disciples and to your people everywhere. Peace be with you. And the word peace, Shalom, Shanti, Salam, comes from you, the deep and lasting peace. The peace that brings in a calm, that keeps us steady in the storm. The peace that helps us face the difficulties of life, trusting. The peace that enables us to proclaim the good news with courage and with joy. The peace that reconciles sister to brother. The different shades of color of our skin, the economic realities, age, gender, life choices, but not the flippant life choices, the true life choices. But we pray for a peace that is not quiet in the face of oppression and injustice. The peace with God, the peace that passes all understanding. And dear God, when you came in Jesus and said, "Peace be to you," and you continue to say it, we don't always understand it. We want it to be a reflection of who we are, not what you are. So say it again and again and again, so that we, your children, the world around, may hear, may understand, may want to live those words. Peace be to you. My peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. And you've done this in a world that isn't at peace, in a world of struggle. So we come to you seeking forgiveness. In the words of the Coventry Cathedral Litany of Reconciliation, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The hatred which divides nation from nation, race from race, class from class. Father, forgive. The covetous desires of people and nations to possess what is not their own. Father, forgive. The greed which exploits the work of human hands and lays waste the earth. Father, forgive. Our envy of the welfare and happiness of others. Father, forgive. Our indifference to the imprisoned, the homeless, the refugee. Father, forgive. The lust which dishonors the bodies of men, women, and children. Father, forgive. The pride which leads to trust in ourselves and not in God. Father, forgive. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgives us. Amen. And we join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn From Rejoice and Sing is hymn 58, Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm doth bind the restless wave. At this time of the service, we share what we have been able to set apart for the time of the offering. They made you work today. Dear me. Oh Lord, what is in the plate? What is in the box at the back for the food bank? Our talents. who we are, what we have, use as a sign of your presence in the world. Help us to understand. Help us to believe and help us to live. So that all may be a sign in this world that there are other ways of doing things, and that your will is something we strive for. Bless the offering. Bless those who have to decide how it is used. Bless us with the gift of being your children. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. A poem by Ruth Pitter. Cure me with quietness. Bless me with peace. Comfort my heaviness. Stay me with ease. Stillness in solitude, send down like dew. Mine armor of fortitude, peace and make new. That when I rise again, I may shine bright, and the sky after rain, as the sky after rain, day after night. In a few minutes, we will be connecting to the cenotaph. As you probably guess, it all depends how long we take to sing the hymn, how long the prayers are, that we are a minute away, 30 seconds away, or probably 2 or 3 minutes away from connecting. But that happens when we are alive. We don't know. We will hear the words in a moment. And then Jeff will connect the radio and we will wait until the cenotaph calls for the 2 minutes. And those of you who can stand for those 2 minutes in silence, I'd invite you to stand. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
Lord Speaker, there's James Cleverly, the Foreign Secretary, and taking her position there, Suella Braverman, the Home Secretary. They're followed by 7 previous Prime Ministers. Sir John Major and Tony Blair are abreast. Gordon Brown and David Cameron, Theresa May, Boris Johnson and Elizabeth Truss. The number alone is a tilt to the churn in politics around Downing Street, around what this is, an unchanged service. King Charles's mother, our longest-serving monarch, saw a total of 15 prime ministers in her reign. They are followed by other cabinet ministers and the Mayor of London, and now walking directly towards me, from the door of the Foreign Office, the Chiefs of Staff, the High Commissioners and Ambassadors, will follow, and those of all faiths and none. tarmac around the base of the cenotaph beneath me is filling with the dignitaries from around the world, each carrying a poppy wreath. On the cenotaph, on my side, three flags, the white ensign, the Union flag, and the blue ensign. And on the west side of the cenotaph, facing the arch from which the royal party will shortly emerge, and above it the balconies from which others will watch down, the RAF ensign, the Union flag, and the red ensign. Mass bands lay down their instruments. They come to attention. That's Major William Harris, 1st Battalion Grenadier Guards, bringing the troops to attention for the arrival of the King. And here he comes, stepping down the red carpet in front of the arch, a salute from a young girl King's Scout. The royal party led by His Majesty the King, the fourth monarch and the third king to lead the national commemoration at this site. Before him, Elizabeth II, George VI and George V, who unveiled the permanent structure in 1920. He's followed by his son, the Prince of Wales, the Princess Royal, and the Duke of Edinburgh. We await the moment when the King's troop, Royal Horse Artillery, will fire a solitary field gun in Horse Guards Parade to mark the start of the 2 minute silence. It will coincide with the first chime of Big Ben striking the hour. Thank you. last post sounded by buglers of the Royal Marines. We heard the boom of the World War I field gun of the King's troops signalling the end of the silence. The King is handed his wreath. He steps towards the cenotaph's north step in the uniform of Marshal of the Royal Air Force with greatcoat, poppy and sword. He's Commander-in-Chief of all armed forces, laying his wreath on behalf of the nation on the top step. Am I hearing a ripple of applause?
Ever-living God, we remember those you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The choir will now sing the anthem, "Had we but hearkened to thy word." Please listen to the words, because they aren't just words that are talking of what happened. They're talking of what is happening.
The reading is from James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, and could be found on page 228. Who is wise and understanding among you?
Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Irene, for leading us in the reading this morning. O Lord, we hear the words. Let them be more than words. Let there be seeds sown and harvested so that your world may be the better world you want it to be. Amen. I'm going back a few years. It was early December of the year 1971. Just try and think how young you all were. Some of you weren't even born. It's not often I can say that in church on Sunday morning, that the year I quote, there are members in the congregation who haven't yet been born at that time. December 1971, and Pope Paul VI issued a pastoral letter for the World Day of Peace, and it was called, If You Want Peace, Work for Justice. If you want peace, work for justice. Which I thought was much of an improvement of Lao Tse's, the ancient Chinese philosopher who said, if you want peace, prepare for war. I like the Pope's words slightly better, and I feel they're more challenging. It seems that we'd go quite well in preparing for war, but working for justice is the challenge. And in the second paragraph of that pastoral letter, we can read, we believe that the idea of peace still is, and still must be, dominant in human affairs, and that it becomes all the more urgent whenever and wherever it is contradicted by opposite ideas or deeds. It is a necessary idea, an imperative idea, an inspiring idea. It polarizes human aspirations, endeavors, and hopes. Its nature is that of an aim, and as such, it is at the base and the goal of our activities, be they individual or collective. I recognize there are a lot of words, but the question is, where is peace in our daily thinking? Sadly, 52 years afterwards, we can still say amen to this. That's not the sad part. The sad part is that on this Remembrance Sunday, we speak and gather as two very serious armed conflicts rage. Last year it was one. This year there are two. And we turn to the words of James that were just read to us. And James reminds us that a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who want to make peace. And it struck me. It struck me. For those who want to make peace. James was clear. In those days, and I would say it hasn't changed too much over the centuries, that not everybody wants to make peace. Sad as that may be. What we sow is what we will reap. We can't expect wheat if we sow watermelons. Yes, I know. I was trying to look for images that were totally opposite one to another. And I can't imagine that the seeds of wheat and the seeds of watermelons would be anything similar. And both are important. But it all depends what you want, what you put into the ground. We can't expect peace if we live in a world that sows injustice. And for this, James speaks again. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will be disorder and wickedness of every kind. I firmly believe that nobody wants to live the cruel realities of war. That they will do it if called, if needed, yes. But do they want it? Who wants it? Death of children, women, elderly people, members of the armed forces, doctors, nurses, ambulance drivers, and again, members of the armed forces, widows, motherless children, weeping parents. How far is all this from the dream that God dreamt when he thought of what he wanted for the world? How close is all this to the vision of the kingdom? As I said in a few moments ago, the morning of the resurrection, when Jesus met the disciples, the first thing he said to them, "Peace be with you." And he had every reason not to say that. He was sitting round a group of people who had run away from him, abandoned him, betrayed him, sold him. And his first words were, "We'll deal with all that and then I will wish you peace." No. He said, "Peace be with you." The letter of Pope Paul VI says the right way to come through to the genuine discovery of peace. If we look for its true source, we find that it is rooted in a sincere feeling for humanity. A peace that is not the result of true respect for humans is not true peace. And what do we call this sincere feeling for others? We call it justice. We light a peace candle. We pray for peace. And yet, following the words of James, we know that not everybody wants peace. In the root and in the heart of many, war is a good business. I don't think anybody would deny that. Sadly, they will say it is necessary. They will justify it in 100 different ways. But do we have the right to ask questions? And from our faith, in he who came as the Prince of Peace, I think we don't only have the right, we have the necessity, the obligation to ask questions. Most of our modern technology, the World Wide Web, WhatsApp, you name it, it all began trying to establish the safer means of communication if there was a world meltdown due to war. How do we keep connected if the normal things we count on no longer exist? That's how it all began. We wouldn't think of it today when it's part of our daily life, whether we go into our emails once every 10 minutes or once every 10 days. And if there is a collapse of that system, you hear about it all over the place. How can we live without it? I don't know. Can we live without it? It all depends who you ask, I imagine. We're growing in understanding, in hope, but things have to change. The question we have, what is being sown? What will we harvest? And it's not a question for over there, it's a question to us, to the little we can do step by step. And all of us have something. And then there are those who go up in the world who have more responsibilities or should have more responsibility. My prayer for each day and for Remembrance Day brings this to the forefront. It's a deep desire for true peace. So we must sow justice in all its forms, in every place we are, so that our hope for peace becomes a tangible reality for all people. Without selfishness, without bitterness, sowed in the wisdom from above, which is pure, peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. We do know by now, I'm sure, that there will be no true peace if we only see peace for ourselves. If there is not peace in the world, we will always be on edge. It's necessary. It's important. It's something that should be taught from early age. A bountiful harvest sown in peace by those who want to make peace. May we be counted among those who want to make peace. And so may our actions live up to that challenge. I'm sure that we all think and remember in deep love, but we would have all preferred that those who died in battlefield then, now, and whatever may come in the future could have lived instead to a plentiful and fulfilling life to reach their full potential, building for a better world. It didn't happen. Do we want it to happen? May the love of God, which is greater than what we will ever understand, lead our thoughts, words, and actions. So this may be true. I believe we all need it. I believe we all want it. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hymn 590, in heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, and safe in such confiding, for nothing changes here. Just to pick up two announcements that were made at the beginning of the service. Remember, there is tea and coffee after the service in the hall, and you're all most welcome to go back and share a time of chat, sitting down together. Please feel invited. At 4:30 this afternoon, we will hold the Remembering Our Loved Ones service. And though we will be specially mentioning the names of those who have died since last Remembrance Sunday, we're inviting you all, if you have somebody that you remember dearly, come along, support those who are still struggling, who are going through possibly the first anniversary soon. Don't let them walk alone. Come and be with us, because you too can light a candle for those you love. You know that. So come along. And if you are coming, and you know that you're coming, we need a bit of help. People to welcome people as they're coming in. If you're going to come, can you let us know, please? And then somebody that can light the candles, as I mentioned, those who have died, would be most helpful. So, yes, it is an invitation, but also it is an invitation where we need a little bit of help. So if you can help us out with this, we will be most grateful. And now, oh, I love that sound. I really love the sound of a little baby at the back. Say hi to him. Let us join in prayers of intercession. Let us pray. We come to you and pray, O God Almighty, for the needs of the world. Where there is war and conflict, we pray for peace and security. Where there is injustice and oppression, we pray for justice and freedom. Where there is hatred and distrust, we pray for harmony and understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for world leaders and all who exercise influence over others, that they may act wisely and justly and seek the common good. For the United Nations and all international organizations working for justice and peace, that they may be strengthened and upheld by your presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who suffer as a result of violence, war, and conflict in body, mind, and spirit. For all who have lost their homes and possessions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who have died in war, those who have taken up arms, those caught up in conflicts in any way, and all the innocent victims of war and violence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, O Lord, for the homeless and refugees, for those who are hungry, for those who have lost their livelihood and security, for those that sleep rough because they have nowhere to go, for those struggling in any way and in every way that we will never be able to imagine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in the silence that follows, dear God, we bring that our most deep prayer to you. for what we have said, what we have thought, for what was left unsaid. You know. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. After the blessing, we will sing this hymn now. After the blessing, we remain standing to sing the national anthem. Now, hymn 663, Love Divine or Love's Excelling. Go in the strength of God's Spirit, lighting the lamp of justice and peace with the oil of righteousness, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, and with this world that is broken and needs healing, now and forevermore. Amen.